A man entered a pet shop wanting to buy a parrot. The shop owner pointed out three identical parrots on a perch and said, "The parrot to the left costs $500. "Why that much?" the customer asked, and the owner replied, "Well, it knows how to use a computer." The man asked about the next parrot on the perch, and the owner said, "That one costs $1,000 because it can do everything the other parrot can do, plus it knows how to use the Unix operating system." Naturally, the startled customer asked about the third parrot, and the owner said, "That one costs $5,000. The customer asked, "Well, what does that one do?" The owner replied, "To be honest, I've never seen him do a thing, but the other two call him boss." The great W.C. Fields once said, "It ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to." Naming things is a human need. Naming things is how we make sense of the universe. And the great Francis Bacon popularized the saying, "Knowledge is power." And there is power in naming things. As a matter of fact, stewardship was given to humankind because God allowed Adam to name all that he would have stewardship over. But it's important to remember and understand that the primary dominion that God gave to Adam was first and foremost over his own flesh. Because if we cannot exercise dominion over our own bodies, we cannot exercise dominion over anything outside. This is vital for us to understand. In the New Testament, existence starts with the power of the word and naming. It was in naming the animals in Eden, once again, that gives us stewardship and dominion over them. A groundbreaking study by Betty Hart and Todd Risley called The Early Catastrophe found that there is power behind the words we speak to children between birth and the age 4. The study showed that the more we speak encouraging things to a child at an early age, the fewer problems they will have with identity and purpose later in life. Words, names, and labels are often taken lightly by people, and the results can be destructive. Too many people have been hurt, offended, and even inwardly destroyed by occasions where they were called insulting things and had their names misused. But God promises us that in Jesus' name, we will be restored from the hurt of having our own names misappropriated. Through his acceptance, we are given new identities. Many, many times in sacred scripture, God changed the names of the people he called and blessed. He changed Abram's name to Abraham, Jacob's name to Israel. Joseph's name in Egypt was changed by Pharaoh. Today, Simon Peter's name is changed to Peter, and we know that Saul of Tarsus's name was changed to Paul. There is power in the names, the labels that you declare upon yourself, and power behind names and labels that people place upon us. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 reminds us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And it's important for us to understand, because of the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, that God never takes our names in vain. Think about that. God declares the value over us and our names, so much so that you are engraved on his hand, as Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16 reminds us, "Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." All of this is made possible because of the most powerful name of them all, the name which is above every other name, the name of Jesus, which God has given us the liberty to speak over ourselves in any time of need. God assigned the power of salvation to the name of Jesus, and he wants us to know every day that he has declared over all of us an identity that is determined by the power of that name, and the fact that the one he gave that name to is truly the Christ, the Messiah. And it's so important for us to know that we ourselves have a new name that we are waiting to receive on a white stone from the book of Revelations. The beloved disciple in his first letter reminds us, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. We are called, named, and labeled sons and daughters of God. We are called a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging particularly to him. And as the first letter of St. Peter reminds us, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Book of Life is translated from the Greek phrase to biblo tesseos. The phrase the Book of Life or the Book of the Living are fine translations for this phrase. What matters more than the translation, however, is the nature of this book. What is this book? Why has it been written? What does it mean to have your name written in that book? More importantly, can your name be removed from the book? If so, how does this happen? And what does it mean? All of these questions must be asked and answered as we seek to understand the Book of Life in Sacred Scripture. There are three main ways that the Book of Life is mentioned in the Bible. There is the Book of the Living in Psalms chapter 69, The book of life in Philippians 4:3, the book of Revelations chapter 3, verse 5, chapter 20, verses 12 and 15. And the Lamb's book of life, Revelations 13 and chapter 21. The most important thing for us today is to first and foremost understand that we are called to live as those whose name are written in the Lamb's book of life. Not for immorality, as our second reading reminds us, but those named and called by name from the God who has written our names in his